Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here today. Last 2 weeks, I apologize. I have been rather depressed and did not attend church, and I ask for your forgiveness. I've had a lot of things on my mind, and I guess I let the enemy take over a little bit, and I apologize for that. I do have this upcoming PSA check on next week, and I'm begging God for a near zero PSA and a PET scan that is negative. So I would ask for your prayers for that. What I'd like to share with you this morning is something that I've been looking at that is interesting. I would title, if I were to have a title, that this would be a title of the Church of the Firstborn, through the firstborn and only begotten Son of God, the pearl of great price. And then finally, who is the firstborn of many brethren? So firstborn is kind of a subject, and pearls is kind of subject, and you kind of think, well, how are they related? Well, I believe that the Lord gives us many things in the natural world to try to point us to truth. And I want to read Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, and then Romans 8, 29 through 31, and Matthew 13, 45 through 46 to try to open this subject. So in Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, it says, "But ye are coming to Mount Zion, unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn." And there's that first phrase that I like, church of the firstborn, "which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." In Romans 8, 29 through 31, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So we have that phrase again, firstborn. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Finally, in Matthew 13, 45 through 46, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So my question this morning to us in the church is, who is the pearl of great price? And how does that relate to the church of the firstborn? Have many brethren, and that the word declares that Jesus Christ is the firstborn son of Mary, and he's also the firstborn at 3 p.m. when God the Father raised him from the dead. So there is a connection, and I want to try to make that if I can this morning. We have two creatures inside of us, we're told by the Word of God. We have a firstborn old nature and a firstborn new nature. So our firstborn old nature comes from the first Adam. The firstborn new nature comes from the last Adam, Jesus Christ. So we have Jesus Christ, who is the pearl of great price. And I think that is the lesson we have here, is that what made him the pearl of great price? And what do we seek him and see in that kingdom whereby we see who he is? And then we go and look for it in Revelation. We see that there's 12 gates that are made of pearls. And in order to go inside that city, you got to go through the 12 gates. One of the 12 gates, I would say. All right, so let's take a look at Matthew 1:25, and it says, And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he shall call his name Jesus. So obviously, Jesus Christ was born of the Spirit of God. He had no earthly father. and he was the firstborn of the Spirit of God. Physically, we see that he was the firstborn. You know, it's interesting that even in the 10th plague in Egypt, God owns the firstborn. And he took the firstborn of man and beast. If your firstborn was a female, that one individual died if the blood wasn't put over the doorpost and the header, I would say. Then what is being taught there is that Jesus Christ, the firstborn of God, he took his life too in the 3 hours of darkness. All right. And he owns our firstborn, and he has the right to eliminate it. Our old nature, he has the right to eliminate. Okay, so our old nature is going to be put out of existence, no more manifestation when we die physically. Okay, and so we need to start looking at what it means to be firstborn. In Matthew 1:21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Well, when did he do that? There's a specific time that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ died to his Father at 12 noon, the sixth hour through the ninth hour, on the Day of Atonement. He died. And that was the thing that bought our eternal existence and the fact that we can have a firstborn new nature. Okay, so we contrast that with our firstborn nature, our old nature. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And then in we also look at Ephesians 2:1. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So our firstborn's corrupt. We have no hope except through Jesus Christ, the firstborn of God. And what he did to be the firstborn of God, he entered that darkness at 12. Could you imagine at 11:59:59 being one with God the Father, 1 second later being stripped of that and thrown into complete darkness? And the whole universe, I believe, it says in the Word of God that the whole earth was in darkness. I believe he put out every star in the universe. During that time when an innocent man was punished for something he was not. He was made to be sin who knew no sin. So that he died to God, then he suffered. The lake of fire came to him on the tree, and he suffered in the place that we deserve to be. If Jesus Christ does not save us from our sin and has died for us, then we have no hope. So at 3 o'clock or the ninth hour, God the Father was satisfied that his Son had paid the price for our sin debt. He had been an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. He completely paid what we deserve in eternity. Then God raised him from the dead. The dead. We're not talking about physical death. We're talking about spiritual death. Cut off. No Holy Spirit for 3 hours was in Jesus Christ. And he paid in his body, mind, and spirit all of what we deserve. I believe that he suffered everything that children of God suffer. Even sickness. Even cancer. Even mental illness. Everything. And was punished for what we are. So that firstborn then is when he was raised from the dead. When God was satisfied that his Son had paid the price, he rose him from the dead. Therefore he was the firstborn. It makes no sense, brethren, for us to say that that was 3 days later. A physical raising doesn't make sense. And besides, Jesus Christ raised himself. He had the power to lay his body down. He had the power to pick it up. Okay? He had the power to lay it down after he said, "It is finished. Into thy hands Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then 3 days later, he had the power to pick it back up. So who was responsible for making him the firstborn but God the Father? God the Father made him the firstborn. Who is our hope? How do we become firstborn? We are chosen before the world began. Jesus Christ took our hell, our damnation for 3 hours, and then at the appointed time, the Spirit of God borns us again. We have no control over that. We're dead in trespasses and sins, as Ephesians says. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. We can't do anything to change our condition. We can't make ourselves firstborn. Spiritually, we can. We can't even make ourselves firstborn physically. Our earthly fathers do that. We are totally passive in physical conception and spiritual conception. The greatest blessings that we have in life come from our darkness. We're dead. We're in the womb in a dark place, conceived. If God wants to born us again in that condition like he did Jeremiah or John the Baptist, he can do that. He can born us again and make us firstborn whenever he wants. We may be 50 years old before we're firstborn. But that's his business, and our name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he will not lose anyone that he died for. So praise God for that being our situation. And then we're dead in trespasses and sin, a darkness. Jesus Christ died to his Father and was made darkness for 3 hours. Our earth was dark and surrounded by water. And it says the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. So there's four darknesses that we are called forth from that speak to us a spiritual reality that we, before being born again, were dark. And the Spirit of God moved on us and born us again. So how does that relate to the pearl of great price? It's interesting that a pearl, I read somewhere, and unlike a lot of people think that a pearl's formed when a clam, mollusk, or oyster, or whatever, has a grain of sand as an irritant. And then the organism puts a coating over it and layers it in concentric circles around it. But it's not sand. That's a myth. It's actually a parasite. Our old nature is a parasite. Our old nature feeds on our body. Our body is not in and of itself sinful. It's the old nature that's sinful that gets the body to manifest. So as we in this world torture ourselves with drugs and alcohol and all the things, that's our old nature using our body to manifest evil and sin. It's a parasite. But Jesus Christ, what is amazing to me, Jesus Christ, during that 3 hours of darkness, our old nature is a parasite. We were covered by Jesus Christ in love, and concentric circles formed around that, and we are made the righteousness of God in through Christ in his work. So Jesus Christ, here it is. You have, of all the gems, you know, some gems made in the depths of the ocean and the depths of the earth, but this gem is made by a living organism. So Jesus Christ is a living organism. He's a pearl of great price. I think it's wonderful that even Isaiah 53 proclaims that he's not comely that any should behold him. He's like an oyster. But he took us, we're the parasite, and he covered us. All those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he was made sin during that 3 hours, and I believe he covered us. And now we go to Revelation, where it talks about the pearl, the gates. Let's go to that. In Revelation 21:21, it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, Every several gate was of one pearl. That's interesting. I think Jesus Christ is that one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Our Lord is that entrance to the holy city. But that's a spiritual city. Everybody wants to make everything physical. You know, the Lord's going to come back, they believe, and rule and reign out of restored Jerusalem in physical, you know, across the ocean. That's not true. He's already reigning. He's already ruling. How? He's saving every one of his children at the appointed time. There are more people on this earth that have been aborted and killed in the womb than ever probably lived on the face of the earth. God can take that baby at one cell big, a conception physically, a firstborn physically, and make them a firstborn of God. That's pretty powerful. Nothing can stop our Lord. And he is the church of many brethren. Excuse me, he is the firstborn of many brethren. That's a whole lot of people. It's not our business to go out around the world and say, okay, there's a child of God, there's a child. That's not a child of God. We can't judge. We have not the knowledge and understanding of what's in their heart. It's our privilege, I think, to just say, God knows, we proclaim the word of God to all, and let him worry about who is and who isn't. When I share, I'm not saying, well, am I going to be able to share something with a child of God? Is this person really a child of God? I know from my beliefs that I can't make them firstborn, but how about this? We don't even worry about that. We just proclaim the truth in love. And if there is a rejoicing, we know we have found a child of God. Because it says, whosoever is born of God is loves. And whatsoever is born of God cannot sin. So that's what we need to look for. So this morning, I just want to be able to give thanks. And let's read Colossians 1:12. Through 22. And to finish up, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Jesus Christ has to be the firstborn at 3 p.m. He has to be born of God, his Father, after suffering our damnation. God the Father delivered him. He didn't deliver himself. He was trapped in a state of being that we are born with in our nature. He was made to be sin who knew no sin. And when it pleased God that he had paid the price for our sin debt, then he born him. He was the firstborn. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. 3 p.m., firstborn from the dead. Not physical 3 days later. It's 3 p.m., born from the dead, firstborn. That in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. A cross has no blood in it. But he was made something he was not. That's a cross. He was perfect and was made to be sin. That's a cross. A spiritual cross. Okay. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or in things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. What death? 3 hours of darkness death, not physical death. The physical death of Jesus Christ was started when Jesus Christ said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he lay his body down, which never saw corruption, by the way, never decayed. 3 days later, he picked it back up. So this death is not physical death, it's spiritual death to his Father. To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. So through his death, we can be firstborn. Without his death, him having taken our death in his body and covered us with love and made us, covered us like a pearl, we have no hope unless he has done that for us. And we in this church were the church of the firstborn. So if I had to put another name out there on the road, it would be Church of the Firstborn. That's what we are, Church of the Firstborn. And we're the, and he is the firstborn of many brethren. So we need to proclaim that throughout the world to everyone, that we are totally 100% dependent on the work of Jesus Christ. We have no hope except through his being the firstborn. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just can't say enough of gratitude of what you've done for us, that we don't deserve any of thy blessings. We don't deserve any of thy love. But yet, you first loved us and died for us, so that we may be the firstborn of many brethren, that you are the firstborn to make that happen. And we ask that you would help us to see those gates, Lord, of pearls, so that we may enter into a worship of spirit and truth that we have available right now. We don't have to wait for any future physical city descending from heaven that's 1,500 miles cubed. It's not a physical city. It's right here, right now in our hearts. And we as having a tabernacle of clay, and God, you have made us priests and kings inside, that you would raise us to worship thee, and that you seek those that will worship you in spirit and truth. The only way, Lord, that that could happen is if we submit to your doing the work, because we have no work. We have, prior to being born again, we have nothing. But you have made us acceptable, and we ask that you would continue to show us that kingdom that's available to us right now. And we don't have to worry about all the things that are happening in this physical world of politics and all. We had asked, Lord, though, that you would bless this election to be finished and that thy will be done. But I would ask, Lord, that truth would come out. That's what I want. I want truth. I want justice. I want, Lord, you to be able to work through this situation and make us a better country and a better people. But we need to acknowledge our place of need. And without thee, Lord, we just try to come up with our own schemes to take care of problems, and we miss the one opportunity to rely on you, Lord, and your spirit for our problems. And so we ask that you would bless us to have the truth be proclaimed, and more importantly, the truth of thy word proclaimed in our hearts, so that we may worship thee in spirit and truth. And we ask that you would be with the sick and afflicted, and that, Lord, you would give them a measure of grace and mercy, Father, that they may be healed. We ask that you would be with Brother Marty as he comes before us to proclaim thy word, that you would bless him to speak from his heart, that the Spirit of God had what the Spirit of God has shown him. Please forgive us for our sins. Please help us, Father, to worship thee, Lord, and be truly a church of the firstborn. In Christ's name, amen.